So for tonight, Q&A question is on Samma Sati and Samma Samadhi. So Venerable have translated Samma Sati as harmonious attention. So can Venerable enlighten us on the Samma Sati?
Well, the important thing we have to discuss is the last part of the supernormal eightfold way, the seventh and the eighth steps of the supernormal eightfold way. Those are the last two steps. We have already spoken of the harmonious exercise, and in speaking about the harmonious exercise, we were speaking about the harmonious attention. That means what is called the Satipatthana. And we also pointed out that Satipatthana is to withdraw our attention from the external surroundings and to focus on what is going on within us. And what is going on within is what is happening to the body, how the body feels, whether comfortable or uncomfortable, and the emotional state, whether it is agitated or whether it is calm. And then the thoughts that arise in the mind. We also pointed out that when we keep on observing what is going on within us, we are really becoming aware of our reaction to what is going on outside. If there is a reaction, we are aware of it. If there is no reaction, we are aware of that also. The reaction really comes in the form of an agitation in the body, in the feelings, in the emotional state, and the thought. If there is no agitation, if there is no reaction, then we'll be aware of the calmness and tranquility of the body, the relaxation of the body, and calmness of the mind. Now, as the mind becomes calm and the body becomes relaxed, we begin to feel comfortable. And with the comfort, the mind calms down. We begin to become aware of the stillness of the mind. And we are also aware that what are called the five hindrances or the emotional disturbances are absent. When we are aware that the emotional disturbances are absent, we are also aware that the thoughts that occur in the mind are simply asking a question and answering the question. There are no other thoughts that come up. Is the mind calm? Is a question. It is quite calm. That is an answer. This is breathing in, is a question. is the breathing, what is happening to the breathing is a question. The breathing is breathing in, the breath is coming in, that is an answer. So simply things like that, questions and answers. What is this? This is this. That is what is called vitakka vichara. And the mind is tranquil, undisturbed. That is, that tranquility of mind is the peace that is experienced. That absence of disturbance is the preeti and the relaxation of the body and the feeling of comfort is the sukha. And the mind not going in two different directions, that is ekagata. So in other words, we have entered the first jhana. When the mind is fully calm and tranquil, we have entered the first jhana. And jhana means we have come out of the world of emotions. We are out of the emotional world. And that is why we call it ecstasy. Ecstasy means standing out. We have withdrawn from the emotional world because the mind is calm and tranquil. Then, of course, once we have entered that state, from there we withdraw further and we stop the thinking process. That means we stop the asking of questions and answering questions. So we stop the thinking process. When we have stopped the thinking process, we are in the second jhana. Then we let go further the piti part. It's a kind of satisfaction and happiness. Then we get into the third jhana. We become neutral experience. And that neutral experience is further reduced when the neutral bodily experience, physical experience, and our mind now enter the third jhana. And when we enter the fourth jhana, we have taken our attention fully out of the experience of anything external, the objective part. So we are focused completely on the subjective experience. And when we are focused on the subjective experience, we are experiencing not what we perceive, we are experiencing the process of perception. That is becoming aware of the what is called upekka, upa ikkati, becoming aware of what is going on within. And of course, we are now aware of the process of perception. So when we are aware of the process of perception, we are not aware of what is perceived. That means the reaction to the process, reaction to the objects has stopped completely. And that means we are out of the objective world. when we are out of the objective world, we can become aware of the process of perception, and that is how we become aware of the constituents of the process of perception. The constituents of the process of perception is what the Buddha analyzed into four parts: Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, which is today called the five aggregates. That is, the English translators use that word, five aggregates. But we use it a different translation. We call it the five constituents of the process of perception, which is more meaningful. It is by becoming aware of the five constituents of the process of perception that we begin to become aware of what is called the paticca samuppada, what we call the antecedental concurrence, or the concurrence of the process series of antecedents. Concurrence of the series of antecedents. We use the word concurrence because it is all happening at the same time. It is independent of time. And through that process we become aware of the process of cognition and the process of affection, the Vedana and the Sanya, the Sanya produces the cognitive process and the Vedana produces the affective process. Now, a complete discussion of this process is what is called the paticca samuppada. So that we'll have to leave for another time. So the important thing here is becoming aware of the process of perception. Now, there is another possibility. Once you become aware of the concurrence of antecedents, or the antecedental concurrence, you, through that process itself, you can be liberated from the existential way of thinking and begin to experience the experiential way of thinking. That is the liberation from the dream of existence. So once you are liberated from the dream of existence, you have become an arahant. But you could also continue looking at the process of perception, because your attention is now focused on what is going on within, which is the process of perception. And because of that, you are not aware of what you perceive. When you are not aware of what you perceive, you don't see anything. So when you are not aware of what you perceive, that is what is called the sphere of infinite space. The sphere of infinite space. And then from there you can focus on the process of perception, and that is the sphere of infinite perception. Vijnananchayatana. The sphere of no perception is the sphere of infinite space, which is called akasananchayatana. When you are aware of the process of perception, then you are focusing on the process of perception, and that is vijnananchayatana. So we can get out of that also by giving up the process of perception, and you are not focusing on anything. In other words, you are focusing on nothing. That focusing on nothing is the akinchanyayatana. And then you can even give up that. You can give up focusing on nothing. And that is how you get into the focusing on neither sensation nor no sensation. That is neva sanya na sanyayatana. Then that is where Uddhaka Rama had arrived at. But the Buddha wanted to go further. There was no one to teach him, so he didn't go. But later, he started giving up. And when he gave up the neither sensation nor no sensation, he got into that state called the cessation of feeling and sensation. And in that state, there is no sentience. Now I am using the word sentience. That sentience is absent. That means there is no kind of consciousness at all. There is only the body is not dead. That is all the difference. But the mind is absent. What we call the mind is stopped. In other words, the mind is not an entity separate from the body. Mind is only an activity of the body. And that activity is stopped. That is all. And in that state, you are not conscious of anything. So then you come out of that. When you come out of that, you get back to sensation and feeling. And moment you get into sensation and feeling, that is the mental activity, sankhara. So the mental activity begins, and you can go back again through that same process. You get into neither sensation nor no sensation, then you get into nothingness, then you get into the process of perception, then you begin to become aware of the objects, and then when you begin to become aware of the objects, you are in the third jhana. Then from there on, you can go to the second jhana and the first jhana. And once you are in the first jhana, you have all the three process of construction. And then you become aware of mental images, and you are also aware of names or identities. Identity. You are aware of entities and identities. And then you become aware of a world full of things, objects, and then you begin to experience the sensations in relationship to those objects, the feelings, three kinds of feelings, and then you begin to react to those feelings, and with the reaction to those feelings, you become aware of a subjective and an objective, and you begin to personalize the subjective and alienate the objective. When you personalize the subjective, then you begin to look for a person who begins to claim ownership of what has been personalized. And in doing that, you begin to find the only thing that you can claim as the owner is the body. Therefore, the body becomes the owner and yourself. So the body becomes the self. When the body becomes the self, the body is seen to exist in the past, present, and future. And when the body begins to exist in the past, that means the body has a birth. The body has a birth, and the body begins to age, and the body has a death. And that creates grief, lamentation, pain, depression, and exhaustion. That is the dukkha, the suffering. So that is, you begin to understand what is called the concurrence of a series of antecedents. Now, this is, of course, something that we can discuss in the future in more detail. So I don't know whether... Do you have any questions? Yeah?
I just like to ask Bhante's opinion regarding Satipatthana, Vipassana, Bhavana. In some teachers, the reverences explain that Satipatthana, Vipassana, Bhavana practicer also practicing the Eight Noble Path, which is divided into Sila, Samadhi, Panya. So, when the yogi gains 13 insight knowledges, realize the insight knowledges, they will attain to a stream winner, which is also written in some books, the 13 insight knowledges. So can you, Bhante, please explain your opinion? That is Satipatthana, Vipassana, Bhavana.
But you have to tell me what those 13 knowledges are.
I can't tell all, but I can tell a few. That is like realization of nama rupa, cause and effect, and then so that's in Pali. In Pali, you see, so I forgot the Pali.
The 13 things
in the side knowledges. Yeah.
I am not fully aware of those 13 things that they are talking about. And if you begin to talk about the 13 things, I can explain.
It is in some books.
Where do you get these 13 things?
Some references explain that, you see, for a stream winner to attain to this, with these insight knowledges, is in some books it was mentioned there.
Did you know that? You can tell here.
Bhante, is it loud enough? Okay, good. Well, in the Burmese tradition of meditation, I'm not aware much about the Thai tradition. We're speaking about these, I think, even 14 or 16 stages of jnanas or knowledges which the practitioners go through when he's going towards the path to Nibbana. The first stage is Nama Rupa Pariceda Jnana. This Jnana knowledge about the awareness about the two components of our nature, Nama and Rupa. Rupa being the body and the mental process being the Nama. Then the second process and the second Jnana awareness is this Pachaya Parigraha Jnana. They're speaking about the causality of between these two. One is causing the other is causing the other. Then a sense of kind of a relationship, causational relationship between both of them. Is that loud enough I'm speaking, or is the clear, is that loud enough I'm speaking? Because my lips are almost on the microphone. Is it good enough? Okay. And the number three is Samasana Jnana, which is the knowledge about the three characteristics of all phenomena, material or mental, Nama Rupa. Nama being the mental and Rupa being the physical.
Anicca Dukkha Anatta. Huh?
Anicca Dukkha Anatta. And then after this, the solidity of the body, this compactness of the body begins to disintegrate in the next, in the fourth jnana, which is called Udayabhaya Jnana. In Udayabhaya Jnana, then in Udayabhaya Jnana, the solidity begins to disintegrate, and then there is a sense of the body begins to be experienced as a rising and falling of a variety of sensations, to a degree of which the body is not anymore solid, but everything is kind of vibrating or like that. And then there is another stage, is called Bhanga Jnana. Of the Bhanga Jnana, some kind of the awareness cannot follow certain processes anymore. When they arrive to observe them, they're gone. This is the way they describe it.
Becoming aware of the destructive part.
Is the destructive part, the breaking down the part, and the disappearance part. Mm. And then the next, because of experience, this disappearance, there is a sense of fear. Bhaya Jnana comes. Bhaya Jnana, sense of fear, a knowledge of fear. And then out of this sense of fear, sense of despair arises. I don't remember the name of that jnana particularly. And then after this, there is this sense of a desire is born to escape out of that situation. And the mind is I forgot a couple of more jnanas there, but arriving to a Patisankha Jnana. This is the 10th jnana, it's called a Patisankha Jnana. And again, the three characteristics beginning to be observed again, but from the level of the body is disintegrating. So the compactness is already there. While in the Samasana Jnana, the body is still compact, or the phenomena are still compact, like two different entities. And then the knowledges further go to 11th jnana, which is Sankara Upeka Jnana, of which the mind begins to be, indifferent, stable to the pleasant sensations which are arising in the body and the mind. And then when sufficient maturity happens, or the Burmese tradition speaks about is when the mind is stabilized and indifferent, they call it upeka, or this sense of equanimity, they use this word, equanimity towards formations, mental or physical, pleasant or unpleasant, then there is a certain moment comes of which the awareness moves to a so-called anuloma jnana.
Anuloma,
sense of basically a transition is going on, and then to have a Gotrabhu Jnana, which is a one Gotrabhu Jnana, switching of lineage, in a sense they're speaking from a being Putu Jnana going towards Nibbana, and then the next one is experience of Nibbana, they're speaking, and then the Magga Jnana have been reached for a split second or a couple of seconds or whatever it is, according to their measurements, and then the Pala Jnana is coming, which is the fruition. So that is the 14 or 16 knowledges which the lady has kind of elaborated there. So he can comment about that thing.
Okay, thank you. Well, that is, I'm aware of those things,
This is also inside knowledges. Vipassana knowledge is inside knowledges. Is that correct? Is that what you want to see? Well, number 11 is Sankara. I know that because I'm studying this for 12 years. 11th is Sankara Upekanyana. 12 is Anulomanyana. 13 is Gotrabunyana. The 14 is Maganyana. The 15 is Apalanyana. So maybe there is something else there, but I know that's 11 Sankara Upekanyana.
Yeah, yeah.
So doesn't matter. We're not going to argue about the numbers.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah,
plus
yeah,
one, plus yeah, minus
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
But that is the. We can get the book about this.
Yeah,
not a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Bhante. Back to you.
Okay. Now, this is very important to understand that they have. This is coming from the Buddha Ghosa's book. You see, these are knowledges. That collection of knowledges that they speak of is also called the Nava Mahavidarsana Jnana. Nine. They are spoken of as nine also. And but what I find is that I have been trying to find those jnanas in the sutras, but nowhere in the sutras do you find those things. It is only found in that Visuddhi Magga. So that means it has entered the Visuddhi Magga from somewhere. Maybe some people who meditated, they coined those words. But when I examine the Satipatthana Sutra, I found nine knowledges like that. But not those knowledges. And that I have mentioned in that book, the nine knowledges. And that is where I think the meditation practice has gone on a different line. So that different line has been started by that author Buddha Ghosa, and also maybe later meditators added these other things to the nine to make it 13 or 14 like that. But the real nine stages that you find is in the Satipatthana, where in the Satipatthana the Buddha mentions that in all the four Satipatthanas, I have mentioned only the one connected with the meditation on the body. Iti ajjattangva kaya kayanupassi virti bahiddhava kaya kayanupassi ajjatta bahiddhava kaya kayan. Those are the real things found in the sutras. So that I have mentioned in that book, nine stages. But they are very, those are real experiences that you go through as you begin to become an arahant. That is the meaning of that. Do you understand that? I don't understand what you said, because you have to use the microphone.
I only learned that the nine knowledge insight knowledges, or 13 or 16 insight knowledges, only attain to stream winner, not the arahant.
Well, it may be what some people say. Yeah.
I would like to comment about that.
Yeah.
Now, what they're speaking is in this practice is that when Putu Jhana is practicing, he has to go through these 13 steps the way the lady said, because the 14th is the Maggajnana. Now, maybe they don't count, as certain schools maybe don't count these like a jnana, so that she is referring to a 13 knowledges, while the 14th is already Nibbana. Certain people who count these as a knowledge, then basically maybe become 14 or 15. So this is kind of a differing about the way they regard them. Now, what they're speaking is when the person becomes Sotapanna, then he doesn't start from the beginning, what she's referring to. So when he begins to practice intensive practice again, he starts from Udayabhayajnana. If you count Udayabhayajnana, then basically going to Maggajnana, there are 9 knowledges left. So in a sense, the Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahanta are going through 9 knowledges. This is what she's referring. But again, these are technical things which is coming from Visuddhimagga as well as the Abhidhamma, and it's different than what Bhante is referring to.
Yeah.
Yes. That.
Bhante, now you mentioned about reduction of experience. So when we are at the threshold of the Arupa Loka, that means we have gone past the fourth jhana, many people refer to the next 4 stages as the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth jhana, and they even refer to the final one, cessation of sensation and feeling, to be the ninth jhana. But I understand these are really not jhanas.
Yeah.
What are they really called after the fourth jhana?
They are called ayatanas.
Ayatanas.
They are not jhanas. Mm-hmm. These are the mistakes that people have been making after, of course, the earlier teachings here.
Yeah. And when one has reached that point of cessation of sensations, that means what other people call the ninth jhana, that very last stage where the mind has ceased. What is still happening is the body. Is there still what is called Ayu Sankara?
Oh yes, the Ayu Sankara is what I call the living part, which is simply what is necessary for the life to continue in the body.
That is called the metabolism.
Metabolism, yeah.
But in many sutras, there is only mention of 3 kinds of sankhara, and sankhara is not mentioned. This
Vachi Sankara. That is because the Ayu Sankara is not a part of the mental process.
That's the body sankhara.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So those 3 other sankhara, the Vachi Sankara, Chitta Sankara, and the Kaya Sankara are actually the mental.
Yeah.
But the Kaya Sankara relates to the breathing.
Yeah, the Kaya Sankara relates to breathing because that it refers to the energy that is necessary for the mental thing to continue.
So it is the respiration and breathing that delivers the energy to the mind.
That's right.
So that is the Kaya Sankara part where it relates to the mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante.
Okay.
Bhante, about this question which Billy spoke and the gentleman. Now, you describe the jhanas as reductions of perception. At the process of perception. Is that correct? The jhanas?
No.
Say it again.
In the process of affection.
As the at the process of attention.
No. Affection.
So the jhanas are reductions of the process of affection?
Yeah.
Not of perception.
No, perception is the ayatanas.
Okay, that is nice to clarify this because didn't clarify. So the four jhanas are reductions of the process of affection, the affective process, which is like the Vedana process.
Yeah.
And then the variations of the 4 ayatanas, which are based on the 4 jhana, they are reductions of the process of perception. Is that correct?
Which is the the cognitive process.
Is the cognitive. One is the reduction of the affectionate process, the elements of the affectionate process. The other is the reduction of the cognitive process.
That's right.
Okay, this is kind of it was not clear the way I was hearing. Maybe somebody can figure it out. So to clarify it for the benefit of all people.
Yeah.
Now, this reduction we are explaining it with the three different sankharas. We have these, the kaya sankara, the vachi sankara, which is that correct? In the first jhana, the roots of the cognitive process, which is the thinking. This is thinking like a vitaka vichara, are still operating. In the second jhana, the roots of the cognitive process, meaning vitaka vichara, cease to function. In the second jhana,
His
vachi sankara ceases to function.
Yeah.
So then we are going to the fourth jhana. Then the knowing of the elements which are involved within the jhanas, like sukha and piti and ekagata, is happening in a cognition level, but without words, a non-verbal knowing. Is that correct? How do we know if you don't think?
The main thing is the affective process is the emotional part.
So, but when
we speak of affection,
yes,
we are talking about the emotional part.
Yes, the process of reduction of the components of the affectionate part in the jhanas, but the knowing part knows that.
No. Knowing part is already there till we come to the ayatanas.
Yes.
The cognitive part.
Well, what I'm speaking is the knowing part knows the reduction of the knows of the reduction of the elements, knows this PT turn to be a neutral, then the third jhana appears, then in the third jhana the sukha becomes neutral, pleasant sensations turn to a neutral sensation, then the consciousness, the attention moves to the ekagata and sati, which is the attention, now they're there together with the sense of unity. Unification and that duality ceases, the way you said, and then the mind is unified, and then in that stage also the breathing in and breathing out ceases, stops to function according to the, is that stopping to function, the kaya sankara is also coming to a stop, is that correct? Does the kaya sankara ceases to function with the breathing stops, is that correct?
Breathing stops.
So now the body is only kept alive by the metabolism is based on the oxygen and the carbon dioxide release. So when the body, the breathing stops, then what sustains the body? In a sense, what is the metabolistic process depends of the oxygen and the carbon dioxide exchange or release and intake.
When you talk about respiration,
yes,
it is important to understand that there are two parts to it. One is the chemical process, which is to break down the sugar molecule and produce hydrogen and carbon dioxide.
Yes.
That is a chemical process.
Yes, Bhante.
The other is the breathing in and breathing out process.
The mechanical process.
The mechanical process. Now that part is what is stopped, not the chemical process.
Yes.
So when you say breathing has stopped,
yes,
it only means taking in oxygen and sending out carbon dioxide. That part has stopped.
Yes, because maybe the activities the mind is so quiet, the body is in such a quiet state of place, there are no activities, so the body doesn't generate any more carbon dioxide, the metabolic process is that correct?
Not that it doesn't generate anything, the generation is going on, but the breathing is not necessary.
So how what you're saying is the chemical process begin to take care of solving the problem between oxygen and carbon dioxide. It's not necessary to be, it's not a, such a big quantities, so the body doesn't need to expel and take more. It's a, such a miniature part basically, because no activity, glucose burning and so on. In yoga, when I have studied this, like a Paramahansa Yogananda, they're speaking is that there's a correlation between the breathing and breathing out with a two internal spinal energy flows, which is like a Ida and Pingala. So everything basically begin, the body begin, in that state they have also cessation of breath in their systems. They explain this, the body is recharged from the energy from within. It's not based on the chemical processes anymore, but this is maybe very closely related.
No, they are just trying to explain what is going on.
Yes.
But that doesn't have to be correct.
Yes. So this is to hear what how Bhante sees it. And then this is the fourth jhana. Then from the fourth jhana as a basis, when the mind is unified, then there is a steps, basically this ayatanas, this is reduction of the process, the cognitive process now is starting. The cognitive process begin to be reduced step by step until come a moment of which the mind is very not sure anymore, seeing something or perceiving something or not perceiving something. And then the mind goes in this cessation of perception and feeling, because now they are also completely reduced to almost unnoticed level, and then somehow the mind also releases that, but that process has been still coming also to cessation, which is the Sannivedita Nirodha. Is that correct? So there is a misconception or a misunderstanding that the Nirodha Samapatti is cessation of attainment, Nirodha Samapatti, attainment, Nirodha cessation, is the same thing with the Sannivedita Nirodha. And you mentioned this, but can you discuss the Sannivedita Nirodha? Is it same or different with the Sannivedita Nirodha? Because if we take the big the dictionary, Buddhist dictionary of the German monk Nyanaponika or Nyanatiloka,
Tiloka,
he describes that these two processes the same.
I know. That is because the tradition takes that to be the same.
Yeah.
But what I point out is that it is not the same.
So what is the difference, Bhante? Can you clarify for us?
That is, the sutra explains that. You have to read the Chulla Viyuha Sutra.
Chulla Viyuha Sutra, that's Majjhima Nikaya?
Yeah.
That sutra explains the difference between both of them?
Yeah.
Okay, so we will go into verify that.
Not only that, even the Mahavedala Sutra explains that.
Mahavedala Sutra.
Both sutras, Mahavedala and Chulla Vedala.
Chulla Vedala, Mahavedala. Yes, this is the discourse between the Dhammadina and the Visakha, as well as Sariputta and Kachayana, Okay, so we'll go into look through that. Okay, maybe this can be discussed some other time.
Yeah.
For the sadhu.
The important thing to understand is that people have misunderstood that Nirodha Samapatti. They don't understand Nirodha Samapatti because they don't understand the Paticca Samuppada. Understanding the Paticca Samuppada is the Nirodha Samapatti. You have to be conscious to have the Nirodha Samapatti. That is why I call it the awakening from the dream of existence, which is changing from existential thinking to experiential thinking. That is the Nirodha Samapatti.
What the other school of the Burmese tradition, Buddha Gosa tradition, Visuddhimagga, they speak that the Nirodha Samapatti is the skill of the noble man like Anagami and Arahanta consciously to enter the state of cessation of Nibbana.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what they're speaking. Yeah. But Bhante perceived this in a different light, the way you just explained.
Yeah.
So that is the Bhante explaining is this, not the conscious entering in the Nibbana state, cessation state, but the state of which the attention is that the attention is totally withdrawn from the existential way of seeing things. So then now the attention is only staying in the field of experience.
Yeah. What I call the paradigm shift.
The paradigm shift.
That paradigm shift is the Nirodha Samapatti.
Oh, the Nirodha Samapatti is the paradigm shift.
Mm.
Now this what is the difference, what is the difference of entering, in a sense, how to say it? You said this, that those who become an arahant, he is now liberated from the compulsion or from the delusion or the dream that's existent exists, such a thing like existent exists, or the entity exists, the world exists, the self exists. He also, after his liberation from that wrong view or misunderstanding, he can, when he comes back again to a normal state of consciousness, he can exist in both. In existential view as well as in the experiential view.
That's right.
But he is not anymore in the delusion that exist and exist. Even if he's using the same vocabulary, he can use the same words like the Buddha about human beings, women, etc. But he has been freed from the wrong view that such a thing actually exists.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, thank you, Bhante.
Any more question?
So what Bhante described just now, explaining the various stages of reduction, actually Bhante has given that that teaching some time back, and I've prepared quite extensive notes already on that. So tomorrow night I will be presenting the notes showing the graphical diagram, the flow chart, how it all happens. So for those of you who are interested, please come back tomorrow night and we'll take a look at the chart of how all that is flowing.
Very good. Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.